All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to episode 1161 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, November 21st. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or paypal.me/geeknews. Here, we're going to give a little bit of an interesting talk tonight when we get started here, but talk a little bit about giving thanks and the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States. But I got a lot of tech news for you. Do we have 1,000 years left? Do you want to see what Ceres looks like? Some stunning images coming out of NASA. And the president is saying no pardon. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about net neutrality under threat. And we're going to talk about an important Uber terms of service update, plus a whole lot more. So I want to give a warm welcome to all the longtime listeners and viewers that are part of the show. Those of you that are part of the Ohana, part of the family here, and want to welcome anyone that's brand new to the show. Thanks for checking in and checking the show out for the very first time. We don't want this to be your last. We want you to get subscribed to the show. That's the most important thing that you possibly could do to really get hooked up with us is by going over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, all you got to do is to subscribe to the show is just, basically grab and see if I can do this right here because I was underprepared tonight. You just subscribe to the show with the icons on the side of the page. iTunes, Android, by email, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, or via an RSS feed and you don't know what I'm talking about, just click on more subscription options. We'll give you instructions on how to get subscribed to the show. Scroll down a little bit further. There's a link to the newsletter. We want you to get signed up for the newsletter. But more importantly, visit the site on a daily basis. My writing team is cooking it. We're ramping up for CES. There's been a lot of CES content coming up on the website, so make sure you do that. Take some time to visit the website if you're brand new. And if you're not new, if you're existing, you definitely want to get over to the website on a regular basis as well. Give us some page load love by just coming over and checking out what's going on, at least on a daily basis. That's always supporting of us and helps the show in a multitude of ways. But let's see here. I'm going through my little list here. I'm kind of off key tonight. Hey, if you have comments, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. If you want, you can also follow me on Twitter @geeknews. And that's really a couple of the two best ways to reach out to me. You can always drop me a line on Facebook, on Google+. I'm on, of course, we have our Slack channel for the Geek News Central family. If you want to be part of that, just drop an email. Love to have you in the Slack channel. You can watch the show on the Roku, on the Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this podcast. And Alexa will be 30% off Black Friday. So if you haven't picked up a Dot or an Echo, you know, I've got the little small one in the bedroom. Thing is perfect. Absolutely perfect. Plugs into it actually has a little onboard speaker, but I have it plugged into an external speaker. So definitely check that out. But, of course, you can listen on Stitcher, blueberry.com, as well as another place to check the show out. Of course, you don't want to forget about our partner shows. Our partner shows are very, very important here. The new media show that I do with Rob Greenlee, the Pro Gear site that's written by my writing team, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, and of course, we've got Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis. So definitely get over to the Geek News Central website. You'll find the link to our partner shows at the top of the website. go ahead and click one of those, check those shows out, get subscribed to them as well. Definitely appreciate your ongoing support for our entire family of content creators here. This show, of course, is the longest continuous running sponsor of any podcast known to man in the entire universe. GoDaddy.com has been a sponsor here of this show since July of 2005. And we're always continuing to have great deals, great savings available for you at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want you to visit that promo page. Definitely pick up a code or two. If you're looking to do some Christmas shopping, we've just been telling you, this is the time to wrap it up. You get $1 a month at managed WordPress hosting for the first year. $1 a month. Listen to that. $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. And a free domain is like $8. I mean, that's what the normal cost is, like $8.19 or something like that a year. So you're really getting the website for $4. So you get $1 a month managed WordPress sites for $12. You get a free domain and a website for a year. Make sure you check on the cost of what that reverts to once the 1 year trial is up. Of course, you can go with $1 a month economy hosting as well with a free domain. You can go $1 a month free trial of GoDaddy's website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. You get a .com for 99 cents. That's a one-time use code. And of course, you can save 30% on new product purchases by using my super fantastic CJCGNC30 code. That's a code that saves you the big bucks on the big purchases. You get off that dedicated server, you get to go out and get a cloud service, whatever it may be at GoDaddy. And remember, they got everything. Everything you need to be online, that's the place to go and to save money, save time, be connected with professionals that really allowed me to build what I built here. So definitely check things out at GoDaddy.com. Thank you for them for sponsoring the show and helping us keep the lights on, paying the water bill, keeping food on my family's table, all that stuff. So again, thank you so much for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. Hey, one thing I wanted to talk about tonight, and a couple of things prompted it. Obviously, we've got a holiday coming up. For those of us here in the United States, it's Thanksgiving. It's coming up this coming Thursday. People are going to be loading up, going to see grandma. Maybe you are grandma and grandpa. Maybe people are coming to you. Maybe there is no grandparents, and it's just family sitting down and having dinner, having something special on Thanksgiving. Don't forget about those less fortunate. You know, we should think about this year round, but oftentimes it comes forefront of mind during this time of year. So a lot of people are going to be out there feeding the homeless. And make sure that you give if you can, whether it be a canned good, whether it be a turkey, whatever it may be. Don't forget about that. And as my father said oftentimes, and this is something that my kids have even got into at this point, is we've often, here in Honolulu, we have a significant homeless problem. And not all of them are homeless. Some of them are simply houseless. The cost of rent here is so extraordinarily high. People come from either the continental United States or come in from maybe a Pacific Island, and they get here and it is just insanely expensive to live. And they have jobs. They just don't have a house to live in. So, they've been working real hard here, at least in Hawaii, to try to kind of solve that issue. And it's an issue across many cities, but we always keep a bag of goodies in the car. And when we see a needy person that maybe have a sign up on a corner, and we've all seen these folks that are either out panhandling or whatever it may be. And basically what we try to do is we try to take like empty like 12 packs, and we try to put stuff in there that we can easily hand out the window to give to someone. And on a weekly basis, I don't know, we go through two or three of those a weekly basis year round and giving those away. So it's a different way of being able to help someone without necessarily giving them cash. If, you know, because, you know, I don't necessarily want to be an enabler of folks that maybe have an addiction problem, but I do want to try to be able to help those. My father always used to say, you never know when Jesus is going to be standing on the corner and you just don't know it. So as we move into this holiday period and as we're thinking about stuff, you know, and if you have an opportunity to donate some time, please do so. But, you know, each of you going to do that in your own way. And I don't want to, you know, preach to you. That's not the case here. But there are a lot of Ohana members that are part of this audience that even today are having a tough time of it. So I want to make sure that we try to take care of the Ohana of this show first. And if you are one of the Ohana members and you're having a tough time and holidays is going to be a tight squeeze for you, drop me an email. Let me know your situation. And we'll see if during the next this season of time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, see if we can do some things to help out people that are listening to this show. You know, when I grew up, I wouldn't say that my family was, we weren't poor, but we weren't rich. We were in no fault to my parents because they worked like dogs. I mean, my mom still works, you know, to this day. You know, we were, you know, a family that lived essentially out in southern Michigan in rural America. And it was tough. My dad was a contractor, had a business, and as I've told you guys many, many times, the employees got paid first. My dad got paid last, and oftentimes the paycheck that my mom brought home from the job, whether she was working at, she's actually was a secretary selling mobile homes for a while, and then she moved into the courthouse, and you know, she held a various jobs. The paycheck she brought home oftentimes put shoes and groceries on the table, or shoes on her feet and groceries on the table. And oftentimes my dad would be many months between checks because they were contract govs or the government and so forth. And you know, it would have to get to a certain status in a job before the check would come. So, you know, it was it was a stretch for everything that my mom and dad did. And so as I look back and give thanks to my childhood and also what has transpired really over the last, you know, 52 years of my life, I feel pretty thankful. And I thank you as an audience. You guys are like good therapy to me. I get to talk to you. And sometimes you talk back. And I love doing this tech show because it gives me a chance to kind of vent and express my opinion. And it may not be the best opinion in the world. I may not be the best podcaster in the world, but I could care less. And I really want to thank all of you for all the ongoing support for all these years, for being a fan of the show and listening and tuning in and giving of your time to listen to this podcast. Because I know it's no small feat to listen for an hour and 10 minutes, you know, every time I do the show. And of course, you know, the insiders that are supporting financially, thank you so much. The sponsor support, you guys just don't know how important and how critical GoDaddy's been to this show over all these years. What I have done, now, don't get me wrong, in the early days, the revenue that came in was turned right back into the business and did a lot of things to get our foot off the ground with the things that we did with Raw Voice and Blueberry. They were, you know, GoDaddy was the genesis of that whole system. And it's a big deal. And I'm forever grateful to them. So, you know, I want to, again, be, you know, give thanks just for the sponsor of this show for their continued support, you know, all these years. It's incredible. And of course, again, for all of your personal support of me and folks that have supported the show by sending in, audio, sending in graphics. You know, look at Sam Garcia in Albuquerque. My God, Sam's a, you know, he's a super fan, and he's always, whenever I go to Albuquerque and I get to sit down with him, you know, he brings a 2 or 3 pages of notes and saying, hey, Todd, you need to pay attention to this and pay attention to that. And Sam's a fan, but, you know, he's part of the, he is the essence of the Ohana and other supporters of the show as well. The essence of the support of the show by just giving me honest feedback and telling me stuff when I'm doing stuff wrong or trying to correct me. And it's good. And all the folks that send emails with the ideas for articles and contributions, I truly, truly appreciate it. Now, one thing that kind of sparked a comment or some of the commentary today was I got an email from someone that I haven't got an email from before, and I will refrain from. It was a kind of an eye opener for because it was basically the email was, why are you starting this new YouTube channel? Why are you doing that? That's stupid. And here's the thing. And, you know, he says, you're not a 20-year-old. No, I'm not. But just like any other medium, it may not pan out to be anything that's going to work out. But the goal is to try something new, try something different, to try to get out of my box a little bit and bring a little different side. Have I achieved that yet? No. I have not achieved that yet. And I hope to. You know, it's like my son had his birthday yesterday, turned 19. And I had the camera out and I was recording some of the family interaction stuff. I thought, boy, this would be maybe interesting to stuff I put on the YouTube channel. But then I'm getting like, do I want to go there? Do I want to get that deep? Do we want to bring the family into the thing? So I have to have a meeting with the family to talk about that, whether or not they want to be part of this new experiment, because I got the cart before the horse. You know, it's like, I got an idea. Now I got to go sell it to the gang to make sure that they're going to be cool with me putting stuff online, including my wife, who is super sensitive to this kind of stuff. So we'll see where it goes. I really, really will. But, you know, there's a new YouTube video up on the new channel at youtube.com/Todd Cochran. It's just me talking about gear. So, again, it's nothing really outside the box. But I just talk about, you know, again, trying to impair some of the things I want to do with this experiment. This show's not going anywhere. We're going to continue rock and rolling. And it's just stuff I'm going to do on the side when I can. I've been a little bit handicapped because my wife is, her new job has got her working from Thursday through Monday with Tuesday, Wednesdays off. So she's working in the weekends. And we've been a one-car family for quite a while. She's getting ready to pick up another vehicle. Hopefully over the Thanksgiving holiday, we'll have another car. So I've been really kind of stuck here, not being able to really mobilize because she leaves the house at like 4:30 in the morning. On a Saturday. I love getting up early, but I'm not getting up that early to drive her in and bring the car back. So there's been some stuff I haven't been able to do because of that. But anyway, this will progress and it'll be what it's going to be. But I just want to spend a little time with you guys today and just make you understand that I'm thankful for you as an audience member. And I just go all the way back to the beginning when I was a little kid and tearing apart stuff that I had bought in auctions, little electronic stuff. And then that led to me joining the Navy and becoming an aviation electronic technician and everything that has transpired since then. And sitting in a hotel room in Waco, Texas in October of 2004 and hearing about this podcast space and thinking, let's do a show. Sometimes I refer to the plural. I don't know why. I guess it's me talking inside of my head. Who knows? But to do a show and then where it has come from all this point. And as we're 12 years plus into doing this show at this point, I'm humbled. I really am by all of you. And just thanks. And I saw a video that made me realize how special this 12 years has been. I've been following a guy on YouTube. Many of you probably have seen him. His name's Casey Neistat. Day before yesterday, announced that he was going to halt his blog. And he's done a year and a half. He's got 5.6 million subscribers. And he just basically said, I'm not feeling creative. I'm not giving you what I want to give you. I need to grow. And it really kind of hit home to me a little bit. And it's part of the reason why. And again, this show, you know, it is the umbrella in which it is, right? So when he was talking about that, you know, he's basically saying, I'm done. I'm burned out. He didn't say burned out, but in essence, he was. But he was doing a daily thing. And I've known folks in the podcasting space for, you know, my good friend, Andy McCaskey. God bless him. I love Andy. Andy's a great dude. We had a lot of great time together at CES, but he was doing a daily show when he was doing SDR News /.review, SDRnews.com. Doing a daily show and, you know, 5 and 6 days a week. And I told Andy, you gotta scale back. You're not going to make it. And he went a long time and he had a fantastic audience and he kind of just ran out of gas on that thing. He hit a wall with the amount of production that had to be done. And so one thing I never want to do with this show is to hit that wall. And at the same time, to be able to stay creative and have some more fun and do some additional stuff. It's kind of where this YouTube thing is and just playing around a little bit and giving me a little different creative outlet. And I'm not a creative dude. I'm just a country boy. I grew up in the country. My best friends are country boys. And, you know, it's like, I'm serious. You guys just, if we go back to the heart of the thing, you guys just don't know. And maybe you do. But anyway, just wanted to ping this out there and just kind of, you know, lay my heart out here. But thank you. Thank you for being part of the Ohana. Thank you for supporting me and I'm thankful for your ongoing contribution to the show. And obviously, be safe during Thanksgiving and drive safe. Tune. I hope you're listening to me on the way to Grandma's house. So anyway, let's go ahead and get into the show. Oh, almost forgot. You guys know I'm not a graphics guy. I'm really not. I need a YouTube video header. 2560 by 1440. If anyone can come up with something cool, and I'm begging here to the Ohana after thanking you guys, asking for something. If someone can come up with something 2560 by 1440 that brings the essence of just what I kind of talked about to a graphic that we can put on the new YouTube channel, I'd be forever grateful. But anyway, that's it. Let's go ahead and get into the tech content. I've already talked a long time tonight. But to those of you that are in the chat room, thanks for being here, Brad and Rita. And there's some folks on YouTube as well. Thanks for being here tonight. Okay, I didn't get too sentimental, did I? I hope not. All right. Let me bring up the stack. Stephen Hawking did a discussion. He issued a dire warning for humanity, saying that we have 1,000 years to find a new planet. And I got to thinking about that a little bit. 1,000 years to find a new planet. So how many of you thinks he's right or thinks he's wrong? And he goes into reasons on why our species should explore space and colonize other planets. He's essentially worried that a cataclysmic event, if we are dispersed among the stars, would not be able to claim all of humanity. You know, I have, I'm a big sci-fi fan, and I read a lot of, you know, futuristic sci-fi pieces, series, and they all have a theme, you know, aliens, good and bad, exploring, you know, technologies that don't exist. And, you know, I think we've all, you know, if you're a geek of any sort, you probably thought about that a little bit. And I've actually asked a question here. How many of you would, you know, take a one-way trip to Mars and Didn't get a lot of response on that, but I'm sure many of you would consider it, especially, it all depends on, I guess, your stage of life, right? And your family situation. But is this a wake-up call, or do we, in the back of our heads, all kind of know that, you know, we're all going to be, you know, ashes, dust to dust, right? We're all going to be, before this comes to pass, we're all going to be an afterthought in history. But do you think the humanity as a whole, do you think we have to get out of here? Do we think we have to move on to another planet, to another universe? Another galaxy. I guess if we're trying to go to another universe, that's a big leap, right? Because we don't know if there is another universe. But anyway, so love to hear you guys' thoughts on that. Do some pondering and see what, you know, he's a pretty smart dude. Sometimes he's a little out there, but the guy's been right a lot. More right than wrong, I think. And so do you think we got 1,000 years, or do you think we have less than that? Love to hear your commentary. With that, NASA's confirmed today that the EM Drive propulsion system, they have confirmed via independent review that it works. They don't know how it works. They're still scratching their head a little bit, and they're trying to write new scientific theory that explains how this thing works. And they're kind of getting an idea. But the EM drive, if mounted on a spacecraft to scale, they feel that they could get to Mars in 70 days with this, or to the moon in 4. And when you're talking about changing the travel time from here to Mars, which is a, you know, with a great slingshot, perfect alignment, it's a 9-month run to get to Mars from Earth, using conventional, you know, fuel, get to orbit, bust out of orbit, use a slingshot, you know, to get there. But with this new drive, they're saying 70 days. That changes everything. And that discussion about, you know, getting out to somewhere else, you know, that's a long haul. You know, that's like a Hail Mary. Many generations of people would have to live in space to get somewhere, right? Until we're able to figure out, you know, make science fiction come true and figure out how to fold space and drop through a wormhole. But, you know, we're a long ways from that. But this EM drive, which was, by the way, came up with in 1999, and based on the theory of a British inventor named Roger Shayer. Now, mark my words, this guy is probably going to go down in history as being one of the folks that really helped us get out there. And if they have found what they say they have found, it's going to change things dramatically. And don't have to worry about fuel anymore. Just put a nuclear power plant in a ship, in a spaceship, and you don't need gas. You just need this EM drive propulsion system get from point A to point B. So pretty exciting stuff. Link will be up in the show notes on that. Okay, also, the International Space Station's crew is working pretty hard, but when they do get some time off, they head to the cupola. And according to Andrei Borzenko, the Russian cosmonaut, shows what it's like to hang out around the space station's observation dome, thanks to a new 360-degree 4K video from Russia's RT News. He dryly mocks flat Earth type, saying, "You can see from here that the Earth is round. No elephants or whales holding it up." So anyway, I haven't got to see the video, but people are raving about it. So at least a dozen articles linking to it today. So I have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. Speaking of space and some stunning new images, you know, Earth is beautiful. You look at the, you know, the blue marble from space, and you understand how unique it is when you see images of planetary objects like Ceres. It is, we are like it is so such a stark difference. And I want to bring this up for you guys. I mean, it's like ugly. Black, white, brown. But when you look at these images coming from Ceres in the 920-mile orbit that the Dawn spacecraft is circling, it kind of looks like the moon to an extent. And it just goes to show, though, that if anyone, you know, ever does wander to try to find a new home, this is what they may be looking at initially. And that's, I think that would make the large majority of us go stark raving mad. We would need to have some red, white, and blue, and green, and purple, and pink, and because if I had to stare at that all day long every day, I think you would have me tied up in a loony bin. But they are pretty amazing images from the NASA's Dawn space probe. And again, the dwarf planet Ceres and some of the craters and some of the bright surface features being released by NASA, which is totally awesome. Totally awesome. At the same time, that satellite that was launched, that NASA and NOAA launch that is going into geosynchronous orbit at 22,300 miles out, this is the most advanced weather satellite that's been sent. The GOES, G-O-E-S-R, is a quantum leap for weather forecasting, and they are going to be putting more than one of these up. There's a handful of them going, and the system it's replacing was developed in the 90s, so if you think about that, you know, this is huge, huge, huge technology jump, and they are giving forecasters more timely data. They're saying this is just going to be like a monumental jump in information, so looking forward to them getting the satellite out there. And I think it's, I don't know if it's in orbit already or if it's working its way out there, but getting that baby fired out, checked out, and start sending data back. So SpaceX, you know, they blew that one up on the pad, but the mission must go on. So there was a science geek, space geek, that caught the SpaceX boosters assembly essentially on the move, and caught a picture of it. So they're not slowing down, and they're looking at going back to flight sometime in early 2016. But anyway, this stage one, and if you look at this thing, I don't think any of us realize just how massive some of these rockets are, but the next launch is going to put 10 Iridium satellites in orbit. And that is, that's not a cheap launch, but a single launch, 10 satellites, and they are, they're getting ready for a high profile launch. And also they're going to be sending an EchoStar satellite, all kinds of stuff. So hopefully SpaceX is ready to get back to flight and to start putting some hardware in the sky, or as I like to call them, the non-air breathers. I know many of you that listen to the show think that Edward Snowden's a hero. You guys know my position on him. And, but I am, you know, I know this is going to make some of you mad. We just have to agree to disagree. But the president has said he does not plan on pardoning Edward Snowden. He says he has to come home, he has to face a judge, and he's not going to be pardoned. He says, I can't pardon someone who hasn't gone before a court and presented themselves. Even if Snowden had, though, it sounds like the president believes that whistleblowers can't go rogue and expect not to face repercussions, even if what they reveal is substantial. So, no free pass there, Buckaroo. You're going to be staying in Russia for a little bit longer, unless you come home and face the music. So that is the what the president has announced. China, I guess they've decided they're going to team up with the Russians, and they're going to build a solar plant in Chernobyl's exclusion zone. Yes, that is the radioactive exclusion zone. So they're planning to build a solar plant in what is can be termed one of the most scariest places in the world. And, of course, this is in and around the damaged Chernobyl nuclear reactor. Radiation from the 1986 meltdown has spread unevenly throughout the zone, leading to government calls for population resettlement, renewed agriculture reasons that are deemed safe. But Reuters is now reporting it also appears that Ukraine, with the help of two Chinese firms, would like to see the region start producing energy again. And so they're looking to put in a huge, that's something they can put out there and not have a high time exposure for, you know, they put the solar panels out there, limit people's exposure time, get it built. Most of that runs autonomously. They wouldn't have to, you know, be there, minimal human presence. So they plan on building this 1 gigawatt solar panel plant in an unspecified area. So I think that's a smart move. Otherwise unusable area. You know, a lot of the places over there, humans cannot go for like the next 5,000 years. So smart. Well, I think this is a good move. So we'll see what the Chinese do. How many of you are collectible junkies? I'm really not. You know, I have a few back here. And I have a few Navy memorabilia things that I have scored over the years. But I'm not I just don't have room. Here in Hawaii, the houses aren't, it's not like we can have hordes of stuff. There's just, you know, not enough space unless you're ultra rich. So, there's a new series, though, for those of you that can and do like to collect. Mark Hamill, yes, the Mark Hamill from Star Wars, is so obsessed with collecting, he made an entire show about it. So it's called Mark Hamill's Pop Culture Quest. IO9 talked to Hamill about the new show, Collectibles, and the joy of getting free Star Wars merchandise, and talks about the new series. So if you're a collectibles junkie, you want to see some of his stuff that he has collected. And yes, he's gotten a little gray as well. It's going to be pretty cool. So the first episode is on its official page. And let me see. I've got this scrunched down. It's called, go.comic-conhq.com/pop culture quest. I'll put the link in the show notes. And you can watch anytime. And let's see, is there, how are they doing this? Is it on a channel? I guess it's available on Amazon, Roku, Apple TV. I think you have to pay for it. Sorry. But anyway, this should be kind of cool. So I have the link up in the show notes for you to check it out. All right, Trump, President-elect Trump has named two opponents of net neutrality to oversee the FCC transition team. So, you know, this is definitely one thing that I am going to be on the bandwagon to try to fight. And I think that, you know, we've went through a pretty big battle to get net neutrality laid in. There is the potential of these couple of these people that they're looking to oversee the FCC transition team, who are definitely not pro net neutrality. Matter of fact, they are the absolute opposite. Jeff Isaacson, one of the newly appointed advisors, an economist who has previously worked as a consultant for Verizon and its trade association. On September 14, he testified before a Senate Judiciary Committee and said net neutrality would not improve consumer welfare or protect the public interest. Another person is Mark Jamieson, who's an advisor. There's also a long history of battling against net neutrality oversight. Jamieson formerly worked on Sprint's lobbying team and now leads the University of Florida's Public Utility Research Center. And the University of Florida, well, there's a bunch of Florida firms that are like anti-solar and a variety of different things. I'm not surprised that this is coming out of Florida, but both these two guys are considered leaving adversaries of net neutrality. So, you know, my advice to all of you is if you care about net neutrality, it's not too early. Start picking up the phone. And if you have a Republican congressional delegation, and you pick up the phone and voice your opinion, the squeaky wheel gets greased here. And this is what we're going to have to do a full court press on to try to protect a net neutrality. Who knows what's going to happen with this team? It doesn't say these two guys are going into the FCC, but they're definitely two advisors, and they're definitely not friends in net neutrality. So just be aware of that. And, you know, no matter your politics, I think as internet geeks, I think we all can pretty much agree that net neutrality is a good thing for us. So we need to fight this one, all right? Do what we can to stop the machine that may undo what has been done by the current FCC and laying out some of the net neutrality stuff and over the top, basically trying to open up cable boxes and a variety of other initiatives that probably will not be looked favorably upon by the new administration. Moving on here, Symantec has purchased anti-ID fraud firm LifeLock. I know LifeLock's taken a lot of heat over the years. I use LifeLock just because it gives me, not only does it give me updates on when my credit report's being hit, it tells me when child predators move into my neighborhood. It talks about when any of my usernames have been found in, or email addresses have been found in hacked databases. Whole variety of things that LifeLock has provided for me that's been worth the, and it's not an expensive product to have a year. It's like $150 or $160 a year for this, but having an online identity, I don't entirely rely on LifeLock. I have another credit monitoring service where I watch, you know, basically it's a double watch. I'm happy to pay for that because you just never know when someone's going to decide to try to ruin your life by, you know, basically identity theft. So Symantec has bought it. $2.3 billion deal. It's been okayed by the boards of directors of both companies and expected to close in the first quarter of 2017. If you're a LifeLock shareholder, you're going to receive $24 per share, a 16% premium to its closing price of last Friday of $20.75. So if you hold that stock, congratulations. Didn't see that one coming. Wish I would have. All right, Microsoft has announced a $300 Windows 10 virtual reality headset, which will run on surprisingly modest PCs. It's being reported by PC World. Not a lot of detail here, but you know, up to this point, I have resisted buying any virtual reality stuff because it's just so expensive and requires such monster hardware to run on. But they let slip a little more information about its plan for those affordable Windows 10 VR headsets set to roll out 2017 with the Creators Update. The Windows Insider Preview build 14971, which rolled out last week, included a new app called Windows Holographic First Run. It's similar to Valve's performance check utility. The app checks to see if your PC is capable enough to handle Windows 10 VR. Microsoft said the Windows Holographic First Run app wouldn't be able to detect any hardware, but the Verge ransom test and it basically it looked at your, gave some compatibility results. So we'll see what this develops. And what it takes to run this thing. But more details will follow, I'm sure. So we'll talk about that as it happens. TechDirt is reporting. Remember we talked about that leaked software at the NSA? And that, you know, basically they felt it came from that dude that who's now in jail that was bringing all that material home. You know, that just absolutely idiot. And the guy that thought he was like a security whiz. Well, according to TechDirt, there is been another software leak in 2015, and there's another person in jail that really was not publicized. So this undisclosed breach of CyberTools discovered in December 2015, which also was carried out by a whatever this type of employee is. The individual has also been arrested, but his case has been not made public. The individual is not believed to have shared the material with another country, the official said. But this is another dude that walked out with stuff that he was not supposed to and is in the slammer because of it, and well should be. So this just goes into question, and what's came up is since the retiring James Clapper is on his way out, a little bit of stuff popped in that the top candidate to take over as the DNI is the guy at the NSA. And apparently, outgoing DNI James Clapper and another person said, we don't want him. So, and they're spilling a little bit. It looks like someone's spilling a little dirt to muddy the waters a little bit for this guy. So, we will see what happens. Politics at play right now. A lot of positioning. A lot of jockeying. All these power players are, you know, they're cozying up to the bar and pouring themselves a scotch, and hopefully they don't spill any on themselves to try to work themselves way into the new administration. So it's you know, it's interesting to see the stuff that is, you know, people getting dimed out for stuff that wasn't necessarily public. So I think we'll see more entertaining stuff like this as we go on. We'll see. We'll see where this leads. All right, let's switch shifting gears here completely. Riding around in Uber? Ever think about what would happen if you got in an accident in an Uber car? So as of today, if you become involved in a situation with Uber that might warrant suing them, you may have waived your right to sue in favor of arbitration, according to an update to Uber's terms and conditions. Uber updated some terms and conditions on Monday, adding in a very large wall of text regarding our arbitration. It says, by agreeing to the terms, you agree that you are required to resolve any claim that you may have against Uber on an individual basis in arbitration as set forth in this arbitration agreement. It continues and says, this will preclude you from bringing any class, collective, or representative action against Uber, and also preclude you from participating in or recovering relief under any current or future class, collective, consolidated, or representative action brought against Uber by someone else. This includes not only passengers of Uber's traditional service, but also users of Uber Eats and other offshoots. Now, wow. The timing of this is a little bit shady. Uber is currently the defendant in multiple class action and individual lawsuits. Some involve the classification of drivers as either independent or contractor, and others involve sexual assault. Adding an arbitration clause could keep future similar issues from making it to court. And what arbitration does is cause, for most part, for you to lose. Because the arbiter, you know, oftentimes, and again, I don't know how that, oh, there's a group that this goes to, the American Arbitration Association. Those arbitrators don't always require a hearing where both parties are present. Some decisions are made based on evidence alone, and they go for you or against you. And waiving your right to sue in favor of arbitration is a totally legal thing to do, so long as you users agree those terms and you know it. So Uber riders, beware. It might be time to take a look at Lyft and see what they're doing. Maybe ride with Lyft a little bit. I'm not saying you're going to sue Uber, but the simple fact that you can't sue Uber ought to make you go, just a little bit. And it's that 1 in 1,000 ride where someone, you know, a driver does something stupid and you end up, you know, paralyzed or something or hurt or, you know, who knows what the case may be. More on vehicle stuff, and this is really exciting stuff. When you guys see this 9-minute video, you're going to want to go out and buy a Tesla. And I told you, my wife is buying an electric car. She hasn't picked which model yet. We'll get to that, but it'll have an EV sticker on it. I'm pushing her towards a certain vehicle. See if my influence works. It may not. But Tesla has a video, and they say it's coming in all, it's actually all Tesla vehicles being released are capable of doing this. It's a full self-driving vehicle. Not, it hasn't been enabled yet. It's locked out in the software, but they take you in a 9-minute and 32-second sped up drive that shows exactly how this thing will work and take you from point A to point B. You know, how much time you spend in your car? How much productivity do you lose in your car? Some of you, not very much. Me, a lot. To be able to get in my car and just ride and not drive here in Hawaii, oh my gosh, it'd be a dream come true. So you have to weigh, okay, let's say you're on the road, you know, 10 hours a week. Multiply that out and figure out about how much time you get back and, you know, what that is in total value to buy another vehicle. I really think if Tesla continues to do what they're doing, there is a Tesla vehicle in my semi-near future. Just because of this new ability. Well, and they haven't enabled it yet. I'm sure they've got to go through all the, you know, Department of Transportation stuff, but oh my goodness, when you see this video, you're going to understand what I'm talking about. It's wow. And it's a lot better than I would have ever assumed. Now, it did say in the video that it's the car is very cautious. It's kind of like someone with a driver's permit. That's how cautious it is in its driving. I don't care if it's cautious as a person with a driving permit, long as it drives as an experienced driver and it can do this on a regular basis, you know, sign me up. I'm starting to be won over by some of the things I'm seeing. I know it's got a ways to go, and we've talked about some of the, you know, some of the concerns, and I still have those. You know, I don't want to be run underneath a semi-tractor and have my head cut off, that type of thing. Yet TBD, but boy, oh boy, it's coming fast. All right, we skip that one. That's kind of dumb. I make an on-the-fly decision here as I'm going through content specifically because I know I'm not going to make it through everything tonight because I talk too much at the beginning. All right, Netflix. There's an article over on The Verge says Netflix feels like Blockbuster these days. And I'll be honest. I'm switching between Netflix, HBO Go, Amazon Prime. I found a pretty cool series. I think it's called Good Girls Go Bad or something like that. It's a series right now on Amazon Prime. It's in the 60s. It's basically about women in newsrooms fighting to be on the byline and a variety of things. Pretty good series, ladies. If none of you had any exposure to what women had overcome in the 60s, you want to see this Amazon Prime video. The series is pretty good. And some of you are going to get mad when you watch it. And fellas, some of the guys back in the 60s were pretty spoiled. Pretty spoiled. That's all I'm going to say. But anyway, Netflix, going back to this article, Netflix, you know, it's hit and miss for me trying to find stuff. And I'm often trying to find movie suggestions. And if I watch one movie, then all of a sudden it comes up with a whole. Has anybody just found that if you have a personal profile on Netflix, that it just is a little bit off right now? I kind of feel that way. I love their series, don't get me wrong. But as far as recommending like a 90-minute video, not doing as well as they used to. I don't know if it's because the inventory movies is less because they're spending all this money on, you know, on feature series. I don't know, but it feels like it's a little bit off. Now, have you ever, for those of you that are young and still going out to the bars or the club or wherever you may go out to hang out, And if you're like, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, you're kind of like, all right, let's go out. And you get dressed and you get to the place you're going and it's dead. Have you ever had one of those nights? I used to have those. I used to hate it, you know, because I spent all the time getting ready, you know, smelling good, looking good, ironing my clothes, you know, everything we do when we were single, right? Going out to impress the ladies, making sure the shoes were polished, you know, the whole nine yards. And you get there and it's dead. You're like, you know, let's go, you know, try to find someplace else. Well, Google is going to be telling you how crowded your favorite bar or hangout place is in real time. It's called Google's Popular Times. It's a feature that gives you an idea of how crowded a place typically gets throughout the day. It's not complex, given that you can probably assume a restaurant is busy during peak hours, but it also measures actual type of traffic going into these places. So that's my kind of app, at least if you're single. You want to go where the people are. You don't want to go where a place is empty. So this is something that you want to check out with Google, all right? Saved up to $100 on Eero, E-E-R-O's mesh routers during Black Friday. It's $399 for a three-pack, usually $499. This is the mesh network. It sets up in your house. You have one of the routers plugged into your network, and then you set these up around the rest of your place, and it basically... And they've made some improvements to the Eero to increase speed. I've never used one. It's still more expensive than some of the great, routers that are out there. But if you're looking to do an upgrade, this Eero mesh router may be the way to go. So I have the link up in the show notes on that. Also, if you're on Instagram, a little bit of a ripoff from Snapchat, but you can now go live with Instagram Stories. So if you're an Instagram, using that app quite a bit, you can go live and then share those live videos with your friends. It's all about the short videos right now. The quick ripoff, the quick, you know, short, funny, stupid things. So anyway, that's been announced by the folks at Instagram today. Dave Chappelle, and I'm not familiar with this comedian at all. But I saw about a dozen links to this today, and I guess he must be pretty good stand-up comedian. Netflix is inking a deal with Dave Chappelle. They're going to have a variety of special basically filmed events that he's at, and not all release dates, right? But some stand-up specials from Dave Chappelle is going to be coming out on Netflix. Microsoft is putting some serious cash down. They're looking to build a quantum computer. Of course, Intel and IBM and a whole bunch of other people have been working on quantum for a very, very long time. The idea of a quantum computer was first proposed in 1982. You know, you hear a lot of things about quantum physics in a lot of sci-fi books. At least you used to, maybe not as much anymore. But quantum computing is really something out of Star Trek, and if they can ever figure it out, if they can ever get the zeros and one essentially stabilized, where the quantum bits or qubits don't flip because of some atmospheric or jarring or heat or something to that effect, if they can ever figure that out, the computing as we know it will change really overnight. But we're talking about AI and doing modeling and planet modeling and universe modeling, that type of computing power. So we'll see where they go, but Microsoft's putting their cash down. You know, some people really don't understand how the internet works. A woman has sued Google because an SEO guy wrote a mean blog post about her on a blog that's being hosted by Google. If you're going to sue someone for libel, you sue the person that wrote the libel, not the company that hosts the media. But some people just aren't that smart. The folks over at Tech Dirt have a little bit fun picking through this particular lawsuit. And anyway, I'm sure there'll be a follow-up post in a couple of days or a week or two when this thing gets dismissed after Google's lawyers just tear this thing apart. Did you guys watch the latest edition of Westworld? Some things that we predicted came true. Oh my goodness. On the 8th episode of Westworld, they really picked up the pace and filled a lot of holes. I'm not going to spoil it for you if you haven't watched it, but the plot is developing. I am going to be so disappointed when season one is over. I'm going to be like, give me season two. I don't think I've gotten into a series as much as maybe since like Lost. So I'm really excited about where Westworld's going to go and hope it gets renewed for many, many seasons. All right, if you have a sick computer, Office Depot is not the place to take it to go get it fixed, okay? Just be aware of that. Office Depot and its sister retailer Office Max has stopped using a technically dubious piece of malware screening software after two news services caught these stores in the Seattle area recommending costly fixes for PC infections that did not exist. So, 4 out of 6 stores in Seattle and Portland, Oregon claim that out-of-the-box PCs showed symptoms of malware that required as much as $180 for repairs and protection. These machines were brand new, had never been plugged into the internet, were on their official release build from the manufacturer. There was nothing wrong with them. And they were using a piece of software called PC Health Check. It's sold by a company called Support.com. Please, in my opinion, do not use this software. And don't go to Office Max or Office Depot to have your computer worked on, all right? That's not the place to go get your computer fixed. Best Buy's not much better, but I trust them over these two retailers. Are you an Apple fanboy to the point where you bought one of their wireless routers? Apple has killed their wireless routers, and now you're going to have to go out and find some routers like the rest of us use. There's some great ones out there right now. Right now, the one I don't have, that if I was to replace the one I have right now, I would buy a Synology RT4900 AC. This is the router that I feel is probably about the top of its game right now. They recommend a couple other, but I'm a big fan of the Synology products. Thank you, Jack Ellis. Matter of fact, Jack, are you listening? I got a phone call for you today. It was some salesman. If you're calling about HR stuff, let me know, all right? I didn't give him your number, okay? I know he was asking me for it, but I'm like, no, I'm not giving you Jack's number. But Jack, reach out to me if you were actually trying to talk to that dude. I'll share that information. But he got my number, and I think he was fishing for it because he came to my website and because you're a byline down the about page. All right. Jack turned me on to Synology products, and I really love my raid with the Synology. Also, if you're looking for some appliances on Black Friday, no, I haven't found a overhead in-rack microwave yet. But I'm sure one will pop up, but there's a variety of refrigerators and stoves that are for sale. I would so much love to go to gas here, but to put gas in my house would be, ugly expensive, but it would be so fantastic to be able to switch to it. I hate my gas electric range. I really, really do. Our AT&T's DirecTV Now will stream Fox. So if you're a Fox fan, if you're a Fox News, Fox Network fan, you'll be able to get that with AT&T's DirecTV Now. It'll be available. Not all Fox channels will be available. These should be available. Fox News, Fox Business, FX, FXX, FXM, Fox Sports 1 and 2, Big Ten Network, and 18 Fox Regional Sports. We don't get any of those. National Geographic and Nat Geo Wild. I get those two here. All right, switching up. I goofed up, folks. I really blew it. I was going to buy NES Classic. I should have bought one of these immediately when the news broke. I was stupid. I didn't get it ordered. $60 device now is retailing. People buying them and reselling them for like $300. You can't get one. This is the hot holiday gift. So here's, help me out here. If you see an NES Classic, you see it for $60, buy it. I'll pay you for it. Now, I don't need 10. if you see one, or maybe better yet, just email me immediately and say, I found one, and send the link to me, and I'll buy one. But they're not available. You can't find them for $60. You can find them for $180 or $320 or $240. I'm not paying. I'm paying $60. let me know if you see one, all right, online. Let's help everyone out, and I'll put the word out on the Geek News Slack channel so that the Ohana can get the word there too. Do you remember we talked about Facebook's Aquila drone? Well, you know, there was big raving reviews about how it had a great flight. Well, hold up. Facebook's Aquila drone is under investigation for a structural failure. The drone with which Facebook hopes to provide internet to much of the world had a structural failure during its first flight test during the landing phase. And now the NTSB is investigating. Apparently they tried to hide it from the press. The aircraft failure was noted in passing in the 8th paragraph of Facebook's engineering blog on the day that our story was posted. This came from The Verge. It said no one was injured as a result of the failure. There was no damage to the ground. No damage to the ground. The aircraft was substantially damaged, a spokesman said. An aircraft is considered substantially damaged when it is no longer airworthy. No one was injured as a result of the failure, and there was no damage to the ground. Well, in other words, it didn't hit any buildings. But still, the way they worded it, oh my gosh. I didn't know you could hurt the ground. In the military, they have Class A, at least in the Navy, Class A, Class B, Class C accidents. And it's all based on dollar amount and based on how much damage was done to the aircraft. Class A is not a good one. It's usually loss of the aircraft and potentially crew. Class B and C depends on the amount of money and damage and so forth. That's how the Navy quantifies aircraft damage during a piece of support equipment into it, or you run a truck into it, or, you know, something broke in flight and you still landed. You know, lots of crazy variations on what class an aircraft could get during an accident. All right, last couple of articles tonight for you. If you live in the UK, the UK government is confirming a move to force internet service providers into blocking adult sites, and this is specifically for mandatory blocking of all adult websites, specifically those that fail to offer adequate method of age verification for their visitors. Wow. Wow. Do adult sites check for age? Don't think so. I think that would make all of them rogue. So that could lead to tens of thousands of websites being blocked. So we'll see where this goes. We'll keep an eye on it for you here, all right? According to coasttocoastam.com, a major discovery is made near Stonehenge. Archaeologists unearthed the remnants of a massive ancient complex close to Stonehenge that actually predates the mysterious monument by 1,000 years. Measuring over 650 feet in diameter, the site sits mere 1.5 miles from Stonehenge and is believed to be an astounding 5,600 years old. Researchers say that the rather elaborate find resembles two concentric circles created by an astounding 3,000 feet of ditches. So I'm sure we'll hear more about that. Stonehenge continues to baffle people. Also, a mom photographed a daughter's guardian angel. She took a selfie, and her daughter died a couple weeks later. A mother in England believes that she may have photographed her guardian angel watching over her daughter just weeks before she died. Sarah Danbury took an image in her London hotel room where the two were staying while her daughter, Amy, received special treatments for a rare form of cancer. When she later looked at the photo, she was surprised to see what appeared to be a heavenly figure hovering between her and Amy. And if you look at it, it is going to give you chicken skin. It really is. And it, I don't know how you get this type of artifact in an image, because there's, it just, unless it's fake. But anyway, this one here will chicken skin you, I promise, okay? A UK teen has won chirogenic court battle. A terminally ill teenager in England prevailed in a landmark case that allowed her to be cryogenically frozen in hopes of being revived in the future. The fate of the unnamed teen has been caught in the middle of a contentious legal battle between her divorced parents. While the girl's mother supported her daughter's wish to be cryogenically preserved, her father expressed deep reservations about the plan. Aside from the cost, he argued that the cryogenic treatment worked, his daughter would be ill-equipped for a world in the distant future, especially since she would only be 14 years old. Nonetheless, acting on the young girl's personal request and noting the estranged relationship between she and her father, judge ruled in favor of allowing the cryogenic plan to proceed. How much does it cost to be stored cryogenically? How do you continue to pay the storage fees on that? Or is that like a one-time deal? In keeping with her final wishes, her body has been sent to the United States, where it will be frozen until some time when doctors in the distant future believe they can revive her. Interesting. I didn't know that was still really a business anymore. Also, a French astronaut's ET warning has resurfaced, but this took place a long time ago. The story of a French astronaut purported to issue a dire warning throughout, thought to be about ETs during a suicide attempt, has made headlines this week. The bizarre 2008 incident saw Claudia Hagnier, who flew both the Mir International Space Station, try to take her life over to sleeping pills. According to media reports at the time, she claimed to exclaim to those who found her, "Earth must be warned," and then fell into a coma. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. All right, that's going to wrap me up here. Let's look and see what we've got for... Oh, I don't have the email open. Let me do that while we're finishing up. So as we conclude today and get ready to get everyone out of here, many of you are listening to this show on the way to your relative's house for Thanksgiving. Please be safe out there and be careful. And, I did have an email. So let me... Okay, no, not going to do that one. Okay, so this is from a listener of the show. He says, "Hey, Todd, a longtime listener and love your show. You're talking about the new Surface Studio and wanting a killer laptop triggered this message. I've been a studio engineer for 25 years, and when I moved to computers, I discovered Jim Roseberry's Perfect Audio. He builds custom systems for audio and video. I get my audio gear from... company out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. But anyway, he says the prices are good and Jim will build you whatever you want. He's a great guy and will go an extra mile for you. He certainly doesn't try to oversell you anything. When I ordered my last system at the beginning of this year, I get my audio PCs from Sweetwater. And he certainly doesn't try to oversell you anything. When I ordered my last system at the beginning of this year, I went all out crazy with it. And Jim, in his laid-back manner, explained why I didn't need the top-of-the-line processor, given what I was doing, and three SSDs weren't really necessary, and so on. But, of course, I, for the most part, went full steam anyway. Some say time is money. I say milliseconds is money. I like that. My previous system from him was 5 years old. It was still going strong, so check it out. He'll do you right. I'm in the recording business and know plenty of other studio owners who use his systems as well and rave about them. But he does build video systems as well. It's just not my thing, but I'm sure they're the best. I hope this finds you your dream laptop." Now, with that kind of recommendation, everyone check out StudioCat.com and keep on geeking on. Tom, thanks for that. I agree. That was bonus. Good sell. And thank you for turning me on to him. got an email from Michael. He said, Todd, I saw this come across the news. I'm very interested in it. Thought the Ohana would want to know as well. This is about an article from Solar City Roofing that might cost the same as traditional shingles. It's about the new solar pads that Elon Musk has announced. We talked a little bit about that in a previous show, but basically your roof looks, oh, I didn't bring it up. Your roof looks like a normal shingled roof, but instead it's got solar cells on it. And a nice slate roof or tile roof could be cost between $10,000 and $20,000, but this basically puts solar on it. So very, very cool. Thanks for that, Michael. Also, okay, that's it. That's all the email. And I've had a rash of people trying to get me to join their affiliate program. If you are an affiliate manager and you've hung out to this portion of the show, I only do affiliate deals where there's some site of special offer that I can give to my audience that they can't find anywhere else. So if you're an affiliate manager and you want to approach me, you've listened to this whole show, this is what you have to do. You got to come to me with a deal that's something special for the audience. That's the only time I will take on an affiliate deal that that I promote internally on the show. But that's it. All right, everyone, thanks for being here. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Everyone, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you for bearing with me on this show. Have a great, great holiday. Those of you outside the United States, sorry. But I'll be back here on Monday. No show at the end of the week because of the holiday. News is already drying up. But thanks so much for being here, everyone. Take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.